6 years ago, I and another adult took the youth group from my former parish on a pilgrimage to the city and cathedral of Canterbury in England, the mother church of the Anglican Communion. We took 4 days to walk through the county of Kent from Dover on the English Channel to finally arrive in Canterbury, staying at churches along the way. Now, in the Middle Ages, Canterbury, and specifically the shrine of the martyred Archbishop Thomas Becket, was a major pilgrimage destination. But all that had ended suddenly when the shrine was destroyed by King Henry VIII in the 16th century. So by the time our little group of Episcopalians arrived in Canterbury, we were some of the rare pilgrims to have made the journey. And while there, we paid £2 apiece to walk the grounds of a medieval monastery. But when the monk in charge learned that we had actually walked to Canterbury as a spiritual discipline, he turned to the ticket taker and said, "Wait, these are real pilgrims. Return their money to them. They can come in for free." Now, there are certainly still more tourists than pilgrims in Canterbury, but the balance may be shifting. Just across the English Channel, the ancient pilgrimage route, the Camino de Santiago, or Way of St. James, whose paths lead to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, housing James's relics, has never ceased. And curiously, that pilgrimage has grown more popular in recent years. In fact, in the last decade, the number of people walking the centuries-old pilgrim routes of the Camino, whether for explicitly religious reasons or not, has more than doubled. I think part of that increase has to do with the understanding that we can experience the presence of God in a unique way when we step outside our comfort zone, outside of the familiar, to see places and meet people we've never known before. Now today, we celebrate the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. This is a story that appears only in Matthew's gospel. The Bible doesn't actually say how many wise men there were, or when they arrived, or where they were from, other than being from the east. The tradition says that there were three of them, that they arrived 12 days after Christ's birth. But the big question is, why? Why did they make that long journey? The Bible says that they came to pay Jesus homage. But why would three men, who may well have been Persians and priests of the Zoroastrian religion, travel hundreds of miles to pay homage to Jesus? The gospel has them saying that they've come to pay homage to the new child as King of the Jews. But one has to imagine that it was not common practice for Persian clergymen to visit newborn Jewish royalty. These three kings, as we know them, may have been steeped in biblical prophecy, leading them to Bethlehem. But they may also have understood that they would experience God by venturing outside of their own lives. Now, our vision can often be narrowed through habit, and going to a new place can open us up so that we marvel at God's creation. The Magi went a long way to see the Christ child and be in the presence of God's Son. Hundreds of miles. Those walking the Camino de Santiago today journey far from their homes to have a deeper sense of God in their life and the world. Many of them have gone thousands of miles. Becoming a pilgrim does not require those kinds of distances. Many of you have seen the bumper sticker around these parts that says, "I never leave Rhode Island." I'll leave aside the question of whether that's an admission or a boast. But one thing is sure, you don't have to leave Rhode Island to open yourself up to the presence of God in the world. You can serve the needy in ways you've never done before. You can visit with family or friends you don't see very often. You can introduce yourself to new people. Thankfully, we live in an incredibly diverse state. Within 4 miles of this church, you can meet folks from the four corners of the earth. And while I don't encourage you to do this one very often, of course, you can visit other churches. When I was in college, my best friend and I took it upon ourselves to attend worship one Sunday at the Syrian Orthodox Church in Pawtucket. We were very surprised in the middle of the service to see our religion professor going up to take communion. Had we not been there, we would never have known that she was Syrian Orthodox or even a Christian. One other point to make on the Sunday before the Epiphany, the wise men didn't stay in Bethlehem or go with Jesus to Nazareth. They didn't convert to Judaism. And in all likelihood, they didn't live to know anything about the ministry of Jesus on this earth. So we'd be hard-pressed to call them Christians in the conventional sense of the word. The Gospel of Matthew is quite clear that after paying homage to Jesus, they returned to their own country and presumably followed their own cultural and religious practices. The pilgrims who walk the Santiago Way don't move to Spain permanently. And likewise, those traveling to Canterbury return home, as do pilgrims to Rome or Jerusalem or anywhere else. We too venture out to know God in new ways, and we return home, at least spiritually, because, of course, some of us have made our physical homes hundreds or thousands of miles from where we were born. The great Anglican poet of the 20th century, T.S. Eliot, described this homecoming in his poem, Little Gidding, saying, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time." God has always been where we began. Venturing out to find God, as the Magi did, can give us a deeper sense of God's presence in our home and everywhere. Amen.